Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Alicia Sigham, and tackling your questions in studio this evening, Bright Kumalo from Vestact and Greg Katzenellenbogen from Sanlam Private Wealth as well. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or pop us a tweet at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me in studio this evening. Greg, let's perhaps start off with you. A green day today for the most part. We've had a lot of optimism triggered by the fact that US and China are looking to lock down, a sit down at least. Are you convinced? Because some of the skeptics out there say that point of desperation hasn't been hit yet.
Well, look, a risk on day, it's difficult to say. The fact is that, you know, nobody claimed responsibility for being the one who made the telephone call first. And, you know, there was just an announcement out of China that they were going to meet with the Americans. The Americans confirmed that, and it was off to the races. The market was up quite strongly. You had seen US Treasury bonds, you know, those yields rose quite sharply as people felt there was, you know, that more risk was coming into the system. So it was a very good day right across. You saw it had an effect, obviously, on gold and platinum things. They gave up 1 or 2%, but that's to be expected in a period when people believe that the risk is back on.
How convinced are you, Bright? Because we've almost heard the story over and over again. It's almost a case of deja vu that's playing itself out.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I'm going to listen to what China actually said. Like, you know, they're ready to bootstrap, sit down, do nothing. So I wouldn't get too excited. But you know what? I've liked the past 2 weeks in terms of the greens that we've been seeing, especially on the JSE side of things, and the strengthening rand. Mm-hmm. Everything is good. I can't complain.
Looking at that rand, now that you've put focus on it, stronger for the most part today, some weakness creeping through by the finish, I think about 4 cents softer at the close on the back of some disappointing current account deficit numbers that faltered through locally. What are you making of current valuations below that 15 handle?
I still think the rand is definitely still cheaper, relatively speaking, you know, to the likes of, you know, the Turkish lira or the other emerging market currencies. But, you know, most of that is our own goals. I won't go in deep into that. I just want to talk about stocks in this, yeah, in this show. But, yeah, and it's still going to be like that for a while until we see that, like, more GDP numbers like the one we saw on Tuesday coming through. And, you know, the consumer getting money and getting comfortable to actually spend again, et cetera, et cetera. And then that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and we see some growth.
Absolutely. I mean, it's certainly something that CEO of First Rand has been very vocal about today, the state of the economy, how it's impacting growth, and what is set to happen if structural reform that's needed doesn't take place as it needs to. Let's put the focus on First Rand. Earnings up 5%, sitting on an ROE of about 22%, off a bit, but still up there. How are you feeling about First
Look,
Rand?
In this day and age, a return on equity of 22% is excellent. I think it's good. It's a very well-managed bank. They're doing, you know, they were first, the whole group. They were the leaders in electronic banking. So, you know, it's probably, it's not the go-go days of when Michael Jordan was there. You know, he drove a lot of that growth. So I think it's now a question of bedding down. Conditions are tougher in the country. And as you were saying, you know, our economy is in a mess, despite the fact that we saw these quarterly GDP numbers. But we mustn't be fooled because, you know, that turnaround came back from mining and manufacturing. But yesterday, the chairman of Eskom said that they can't guarantee that there won't be any load shedding. Yeah. And if you get load shedding again, that's going to be quite a sharp turnaround in those numbers. So you'll need more than you know, one good quarter to say that things are actually turning around.
But
to me, it looks like, you know, unfortunately, there's a lack of leadership in the country, mm-hmm, and we still have significant problems. You were talking about the rand earlier. You know, the rand is strengthened because the US dollar weakened. I mean, if the rand had to trade based on the sentiment in the country at the moment, it would be over 20 to 1. You know, so, but at the moment, it's been driven by external factors, with some one or two internal. But at the moment, all emerging market currencies are getting a bid from a risk being back on.
Yeah. Looking at some of the levers First Rand is looking to pull, Bright, it's digital for one. But that is an arena that is becoming aggressively competitive as time goes on. And then secondly, looking to pursue Africa a lot more aggressively as well. It's triggered some shifts. Your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, they spoke about, you know, the number of people that are actually actively using the digital platforms. I can't recall the numbers exactly, but that's a very easy way to start cross-selling, especially on the transactional side of the bank, all the different products that you offer there, especially since, you know, eBucks is such a big thing and it's changing people's behavior in terms of, you know, I want to accumulate these coins. Yeah. People like, you know, to be motivated by something, you know, to drive yourself towards a goal. And this eBucks thing is like, you know, you're following this chip and, you know, you just never get to it. So that's one of the things that helps them cross-sell a lot of their products. And we've seen double digits growth on the transactional side of things. And yes, it's mostly driven by millennials and the digital platform itself. So it's very good for them on that side of things. But, you know, asset management and investment banking, that's all just driven by, you know, how companies feel in terms of sentiment, et cetera, and the market performance as a whole. And we've seen locally the JSE is not doing so well. And I could argue that global market have reached a point of saturation. So the surprises are going to be from the downside here. So earning fees is going to be very hard going forward.
Yeah.
And it's reflected in the numbers.
Also reflected in Sanlam's numbers out today, Greg, because we had, as I ask you the question, I realize that I'm not sure if I'm going to get an unbiased view here, but, you know, a downturn in the local equity market hitting the company as well as far as earnings are concerned.
No, well, that's to be expected. You can see what's going on. You look at a graph of the JSE and take it over 5 years, you know, and a lot of volatility, but you've basically gone nowhere. Mm. So, you know, Sanlam issued new shares to the BEE group, and then certainly they measure what they call ROGEV, return on equity value, was below par for their expectation.
Their hurdle rate to about 8.9%.
Yes, and their hurdle rate is 13.5%, so it was. But there were certainly some operational highlights for the company. But for all South African businesses, times are tough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Sanlam is really, if you're an international fund manager and you're looking for an emerging market play on life assurance and that, you know, on insurance, then Sanlam makes a lot of sense because, you know, they're in Africa quite a lot. And then, of course, they have the joint venture in India.
Yeah, Saham is its big African, punt at the moment, looking to extend its African footprint quite aggressively. New business volumes overall increasing 4%. It's sitting at 11 billion rand over the period. The group seeing net fund inflows of 23 billion rand as well. How are you feeling about Sanlam, Bright?
I'm okay. It's you know, insurance.
Feeling muted.
Yeah, exactly. The insurance space is very hard to operate, especially in Africa, considering, like, again, here in South Africa, the consumer is feeling a lot of heat. Tightening the belt. It's the same in East Africa. It's the same in West Africa. So it's a very hard operating environment currently. But yes, if we do see growth across Africa, yes, this is a company you'd want to own, especially in the insurance and asset management space.
Okay. In the meantime, Implats out with numbers as well today. Of course, now saying that it's sitting cash flush, looking to put that capital to work. Is the now the time to be spending? What are you making of its plans as it goes through a bit of restructuring on its own on the one side and then looks to bulk up on the other, Greg?
Well, they have to. They're continuing the restructuring, and that's why they're not paying a dividend. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the numbers to be sitting with over a billion rand in cash, you know, and those profit numbers, I mean, five times. So you can see. But the best is still to come, in my view. PGM basket price, I think, we will still run much higher. It will run in tandem with gold. So the next 6 months, I expect just as good, if not better, earnings for them. But they must certainly keep cash. And this is what's happened, you know, a few years ago. Mining companies overspent. They had very little in the way of cash resources. Now today, balance sheets of these mining companies are in tip-top shape, and they should keep them that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Implats today impressing you at all? Or is it just a feature of that PGM price that's
yeah,
gone
exactly.
in the headlines?
And if you ask yourself what drives the price, right, it's been a lot of external Six Sigma events. It's not exactly, you know, like everyone is rushing for the gold rush or whatever. But it hasn't been that. It's been, you know, earlier in the year we saw the bridge collapse and those companies stopped operating, and then that pushed the prices up of a lot of metals and Vale, et cetera, et cetera. But now they're all coming back to the game. They're starting to operate again, and we've seen, you know, a slow, you know, the prices of these metals actually going backwards, and it's going to affect the companies in the near term as well. But the good news is that now that things are going well for them, they're paying down the debt, and mm-hmm. we're seeing those earnings coming quite strong for most of these companies. And investors that were patient and bought during, you know, the dark days are laughing to the bank right now. But, you know, for new investors, I think you should be cautious.
Yeah. With the new investors in mind, what's your view when it comes to Sibanye-Stillwater's shares?
Well, look, they took on a huge amount of debt, but they went into PGM metals.
Absolutely.
So that should be very beneficial for them. Their timing couldn't have been better from a point of view to get into palladium and platinum. But of course, you know, they've had a significant strike action that has harmed them. So they haven't really had the benefit. It's, I think if you saw in the last set of results, there was, you know, the strike did affect them. A 5-month strike was pretty damaging for them. So, but I'm very bullish on PGM prices going forward. I'm bullish on the gold price. So
yeah,
I think it still represents some value.
And I guess the risk that strike action presents illustrated as well in Implats numbers today, and the reason why they've held back that dividend, very cautious about what wage negotiations within the platinum sector is going to bring with it as we progress. Are you surprised, Bright, amidst it all, that we've got a mines minister, Gwede Mantashe, promoting a hoax mineral to investors? I mean, this is an upcycle. Surely we've got enough, you know, to promote at the end of the day. It was one of the funny headlines, I guess, that kind of propped up today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, you know, running these companies is very difficult because, again, you've got regulatory scrutiny on the one side, you've got guys pushing their own agendas, you can't control a lot because the price is set by the market. And the labor market in South Africa is very tough. We can't compare ourselves to, say, South America or even China. Yeah. China is like light years ahead of us in terms of that mechanization, et cetera, et cetera. You find that big plants are run by 2 engineers, whereas here we're running it with 2,000 people. It's very tough. So in terms of, you know, buying into these companies, if you're not buying them in the down cycle with an expectation of an up cycle, I don't think they're a good buy. And there's too much you can't control, unfortunately. There's too many moving parts, and I stay away as a rule.
Yeah.
Is the story about the mines minister
exactly.
a true one?
Or? No, it's not. So in an attempt to woo investors to South Africa, Mineral Resources and Energy Minister Gwede Mantashe promoted a mineral that existed only in the minds of those behind an April Fool's Day spoof. So egg on his face for today. Let's hit pause on the conversation. It's time for a break. Keep sending through your questions via SMS to 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Alicia Sikkim, and tackling your questions in studio this evening, Bright Khumalo from Vestact and Greg Katzenellenbogen from Sanlam Private Wealth as well. Don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or pop us a tweet at Business Day TV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me in studio this evening. Greg, let's perhaps start off with you. A green day today for the most part. We've had a lot of optimism triggered by the fact that US and China are looking to lock down, a sit down at least. Are you convinced? Because some of the skeptics out there say that point of desperation hasn't been hit yet.
Well, look, a risk on day, it's difficult to say. The fact is that, you know, nobody claimed responsibility for being the one who made the telephone call first. And, the, you know, there was just an announcement out of China that they were going to meet with the Americans. The Americans confirmed that, and it was off to the races. The market was up quite strongly. You had seen US Treasury bonds, you know, those yields rose quite sharply as people felt there was, you know, that more risk was coming into the system. So it was a very good day right across. You saw it had an effect, obviously, on gold and platinum and things. They gave up 1 or 2%, but that's to be expected in a period when people believe that the risk is back on.
How convinced are you, Bright? Because we've almost heard the story over and over again. It's almost a case of deja vu that's playing itself out.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I'm going to listen to what China actually said. Like, you know, they're ready to bootstrap, sit down, do nothing. So I wouldn't get too excited. But you know what? I've liked the past 2 weeks in terms of the greens that we've been seeing, especially on the JSE side of things, and the strengthening rand. Mm-hmm. Everything is good. I can't complain.
Looking at that rand, now that you've put focus on it, stronger for the most part today. Some weakness creeping through by the finish, I think about 4 cents softer at the close on the back of some disappointing current account deficit numbers that faltered through locally. What are you making of current valuations below that 15 handle?
I still think the rand is definitely still cheaper, relatively speaking, you know, to the likes of, you know, the Turkish lira or the other emerging market currencies. But, you know, most of that is our own goals. I won't go in deep into that. I just want to talk about stocks in this show. But, yeah, and it's still going to be like that for a while until we see that, like, more GDP numbers like the one we saw on Tuesday coming through. And, you know, the consumer getting money and getting comfortable to actually spend again, et cetera, and then that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and we see some growth.
Absolutely. I mean, it's certainly something that CEO of First Rand has been very vocal about today, the state of the economy, how it's impacting growth, and what is set to happen if structural reform that's needed doesn't take place as it needs to. Let's put the focus on First Rand. Earnings up 5%, sitting on an ROE of about 22%, off a bit, but still up there. How are you feeling about First
Look,
Rand?
In this day and age, a return on equity of 22% is excellent. I think it's good. It's a very well-managed bank. They're doing, they were first, the whole group. They were the leaders in electronic banking. Mm. So, you know, it's probably, it's not the go-go days of when Michael Jordan was there. You know, he drove a lot of that growth. So I think it's now a question of bedding down. Conditions are tougher in the country. And as you were saying, you know, our economy is in a mess, despite the fact that we saw these quarterly GDP numbers. But we mustn't be fooled because, you know, that turnaround came back from mining and manufacturing. But yesterday, the chairman of Eskom said that they can't guarantee that there won't be any load shedding. Yeah. And if you get load shedding again, that's going to be quite a sharp turnaround in those numbers. So you'll need more than one good quarter to say that things are actually turning around.
But
to me, it looks like, you know, unfortunately, there's a lack of leadership in the country, mm-hmm. and we still have significant problems. You were talking about the rand earlier. You know, the rand has strengthened because the US dollar weakened. I mean, if the rand had to trade based on the sentiment in the country at the moment, it would be over 20-1. You know, so, but at the moment, it's been driven by external factors with some one or two internal, but at the moment all emerging market currencies are getting a bid from a risk being back on.
Yeah, looking at some of the levers First Rand is looking to pull, Bright, it's digital for one, but that is an arena that is becoming aggressively competitive as time goes on. And then secondly, looking to pursue Africa a lot more aggressively as well. It's triggered some shifts. Your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, they spoke about, you know, the number of people that are actually actively using the digital platforms. I can't recall the numbers exactly, but that's a very easy way to start cross-selling, especially on the transactional side of the bank, all the different products that you offer there, especially since, you know, eBucks is such a big thing and it's changing people's behavior in terms of, you know, I want to accumulate these coins.
Yeah.
People like you know, to be motivated by something, you know, to drive yourself towards a goal. And this is this eBucks thing is like, you know, you're following this chip, then you know, you just never get to it. So that's one of the things that helps them cross sell a lot of their products. And we've seen double digits growth on the transactional side of things. And yes, it's mostly driven by millennials and the digital platform itself. So it's very good for them. On that side of things. But, you know, asset management and investment banking, that's all just driven by, you know, how companies feel in terms of sentiment, et cetera, and the market performance as a whole. And we've seen locally the JSE is not doing so well. And I could argue that global market have reached a point of saturation. So the surprises are going to be from the downside here. So earning fees is going to be very hard going forward.
Yeah.
And it's reflected in the numbers.
Also reflected in Sanlam's numbers out today, Greg, because we had, and I, as I ask you the question, I realize that I'm not sure if I'm going to get an unbiased view here, but, you know, a downturn in the local equity market hitting, you know, hitting the company as well as far as earnings are concerned.
No, well, that's to be expected. You can see what's going on. You look at a graph of the JSE and take it over 5 years, you know, and a lot of volatility, but you've basically gone nowhere. Mm. So, you know, Sanlam issued new shares to the BEE group, and then, but certainly they measure what they call ROGEV, return on equity value. It was below par for their expectation.
Their hurdle rate about 8.9%.
Yes, and their hurdle rate is 13.5%. So it was, but there were certainly some operational highlights for the company. But for all South African businesses, times are tough. Mm-hmm. But you know, Sanlam is really, if you're a an international fund manager and you're looking for an emerging market play on life assurance and that, you know, on insurance, then Sanlam makes a lot of sense because, you know, they're in Africa quite a lot. And then, of course, they have the joint venture in India.
Yeah, Saham is its big African, you know, punt at the moment, looking to extend its African footprint quite aggressively. New business volumes overall increasing 4%. It's sitting at 11 billion rand over the period. The group seeing net fund inflows of 23 billion rand as well. How are you feeling about Sanlam, Bright?
I'm okay. It's you know, insurance.
You're feeling muted.
Yeah, exactly. The insurance space is very hard to operate, especially in Africa, considering, like, again, here in South Africa, the consumer is feeling a lot of heat. You know, they tightening the belt. It's the same in East Africa. It's the same in West Africa. So it's a very hard operating environment currently. But yes, if we do see growth across Africa, yes, this is a company you'd want to own, especially in the insurance and asset management space.
Okay. In the meantime, Implats out with numbers as well today. Of course, now saying that it's sitting cash flush, looking to put that capital to work. Is the now the time to be spending? What are you making of its plans as it goes through a bit of restructuring on its own on the one side and then looks to bulk up on the other, Greg?
Well, they have to. They're continuing the restructuring, and that's why they're not paying a dividend. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the numbers to be sitting with over a billion rand in cash, you know, and those profit numbers, I mean, five times. So you can see. But the best is still to come, in my view. PGM basket price, I think, we will still run much higher. It will run in tandem with gold. So I wouldn't, the next 6 months, I expect just as good, if not better, earnings for them. But they must certainly keep cash. And this is what's happened, you know, a few years ago. Mining companies overspent. They had very little in the way of cash resources. Now, today, balance sheets of these mining companies are in tip-top shape, and they should keep them that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Implats today impressing you at all? Or is it just a feature of that PGM price that's
Yeah, exactly. And if you ask yourself what drives the price, right, it's been a lot of external Six Sigma events. It's not exactly, you know, like everyone is rushing for the gold rush or whatever. But it hasn't been that. It's been, you know, earlier in the year we saw the bridge collapse and those companies stopped operating, and then that pushed the prices up of a lot of metals and Vale, et cetera, et cetera. But now they're all coming back to the game. They're starting to operate again, and we've seen, you know, a slow, you know, the prices of these metals actually going backwards, and it's going to affect the companies in the near term as well. But the good news is that now that things are going well for them, they're paying down the debt, and mm-hmm. we're seeing those earnings coming quite strong for most of these companies. And investors that were patient and bought during, you know, the dark days are laughing to the bank right now. But, you know, for new investors, I think you should be cautious.
Yeah. With the new investors in mind, what's your view when it comes to Sibanye-Stillwater's shares?
No, well, look, they, you know, I mean, they took on a huge amount of debt, but they went into PGM metals.
Absolutely.
So that should be very beneficial for them. Their timing couldn't have been better from a point of view to get into palladium and platinum. But of course, you know, they've had a significant strike action that has harmed them. So they haven't really had the benefit. It's, I think if you saw in the last set of results, there was, you know, the strike did affect them. A 5-month strike was pretty damaging for them. So, but I'm very bullish on PGM prices going forward. I'm bullish on the gold price. So
yeah,
I think it still represents some value.
And I guess the risk that strike action presents illustrated as well in Implats numbers today, and the reason why they've held back that dividend, very cautious about what wage negotiations within the platinum sector is going to bring with it as we progress. Are you surprised, Bright, amidst it all, that we've got a mines minister, Gwede Mantashe, promoting a hoax mineral to investors? I mean, this is an upcycle. Surely we've got enough, you know, to promote at the end of the day. It was one of the funny headlines, I guess, that kind of propped up today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, you know, running these companies is very difficult because, again, you've got regulatory scrutiny on the one side, you've got guys pushing their own agendas, you can't control a lot because the price is set by the market. And the labor market in South Africa is very tough. We can't compare ourselves to, say, South America or even China. Yes. China is like light years ahead of us in terms of that mechanization, et cetera, et cetera. You find that big plants are run by 2 engineers, whereas here we're running it with 2,000 people. It's very tough. So in terms of, you know, buying into these companies, if you're not buying them in the down cycle with an expectation of an up cycle, I don't think they're a good buy. And there's too much you can't control, unfortunately. There's too many moving parts, and I stay away as a rule.
Yeah.
Is the story about the mines minister
exactly
a true one?
Or? No, it's not. So in an attempt to woo investors to South Africa, Mineral Resources and Energy Minister Gwede Mantashe promoted a mineral that existed only in the minds of those behind an April Fool's Day spoof. So egg on his face for today. Let's hit pause on the conversation. It's time for a break. Keep sending through your questions via SMS to 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. What's your stock pick?
My stock pick is Nvidia, another company that's been battered. It halved at some point because of, you know.
So sticking to the technology theme.
Yes, on the earnings front. But this is a chip maker. You know, they make the gaming chips, Bitcoin mining chips, etc., etc. And their technology is about 18 months ahead of the game in terms of like their competitors such as AMD. And I like the company because it basically powers every good computer, you know, probably including the one you using right now.
Okay, you, Greg?
Yeah, my stock pick is Anglo American Corporation. I know we don't have much time, but mining stocks are probably the cheapest they've been for about 100 years. If you take cyclically adjusted PE ratio, what they call the CAPE, in fact, the mining stocks at the moment are worse than when they were in the global financial crisis and in the dot-com bubble. The bottom line, so from a valuation point of view, they're cheap. Anglo is well diversified. The price of these stocks at the moment is really indicative of the fact that the market is expecting that we're going to, you know, economic growth is going to fall over a cliff. I don't think it's going to happen. Certainly there will be a slowdown, not a thing, but China will have to stimulate their economy and it'll be very good. So I believe on a 12 to 24 month, Anglo will be one of the top performers.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for having joined me at the desk this evening. Thanks, of course, to Bright Kamalo from Vestact and Greg Katzenellenbogen from Sanlam Private Wealth as well. We take more of your stock-related questions next week. Have a good evening. I'll see you straight after the break.